Welcome to today's episode of The Power of Reinvention. Here we talk with my guests about the dreams, the visions, and the passions that individuals have every day and dare to explore them. Whether it's business or personal, you're entitled to live the life that you want, and no matter what the circumstances, you have the power to create success, fulfill your dreams, and live with passion. That's what I'm talking about. So dare greatly and happy reinventing, folks. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Power of Reinvention. I cannot tell you how excited I am to have this guest with us today, Gabrielle Garofalo, which, gosh, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing your name correctly. I mean, we've been friends for 20 some odd years. Like, hi, but how do I pronounce your last name? Did I get it?
Well,
how do you say it? It is your name. How do you say it?
I say Garofalo.
Garofalo. I should know that. But like, how often are we in rooms where I actually hear you say your name?
Never.
Okay.
Because we know who each
I know other. How to spell it. Like, it's got a rhythm when I spell it. So welcome, everybody, to what is sure to be a fabulous conversation, as you can tell by the way it is starting, with my extraordinary, amazing, beautiful, precious friend, colleague, confidant, business badass, the extraordinary Gabrielle. Welcome. Hi, honey. Thank you for being here today.
Hi. Was your goal to try and make me cry before I even started? Because really close. That was a really, wow.
I haven't even started to talk about who you are and what you do. So let me go there. Right. Sit back and listen to who you are.
Oh, Lord.
So Gabrielle is the founder of the Pause for Pleasure process. Just ponder that for one moment while I continue to tell you a little bit about her background. She's a seasoned empowerment coach and marketing consultant with a 25-year career. Transitioned to coaching in 2018, blending diverse modalities in her practice. She's trained in body positivity, yoga, nidra, and emotional intelligence, and she draws inspiration from influential figures like Abraham Hicks and Gabby Bernstein. I'm going to just kind of reference another piece of paper because I got to talk about the world in which Gabrielle and I met, which was the events and experiential production world, which includes her prestigious events that she worked on, like Oprah Live, the inaugural New Yorker Festival, the Santa Barbara Film Festival, which was our moment of connection, Billboard Music Awards, and the Wired 25. And during her tenure as the global director of brand content for the Wall Street Journal, she managed offices in New York, London, and Beijing, honing a global perspective on inclusive team building, human interaction, and behavioral dynamics, which I cannot emphasize enough how relevant that is to the work you are doing today, which we're going to get to in just a moment. But she has a very rich background in these areas, and her passion led her to create a 5-part pleasure framework promoting stress reduction and joy. She's also serving on WE Global Studios Advisory Board. She pursues her dream of building the first pleasure-centered platform for global accessibility, prioritizing holistic well-being. Now, when you've worked with the corporate background and the events background that Gabrielle has worked with, A, it's no wonder you needed to reinvent your life in some way and find the pleasure in the world that we are now living in and hone all of these skills and all of this background. So I've just shared sort of a whole melee of things that you do, that you are, that you have touched, that you have experienced, and that you have brought your A game to in life and business. But I'm going to take you back, my friend, to the little Gabrielle that you were when you were 5 and 12 and 18. Like, who did you think you were going to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a stage singer and actress, either on Broadway or in film and television. And secretly, I still sort of do. I'm hoping that my last career is in stand-up comedy. maybe when I'm like 80 or so.
I think I just saw you singing with a mic in your hand somewhere with some extraordinary voice, which I know you have because I happen to know that about you. But oh my goodness, like do it all. It's incredible. I love that.
I think the point actually, and I'm so glad you brought up that I'm still singing, is that childish joy, passion, thing that lit you up, that like it took no coaxing. You just knew it felt so good in your body. That's what pleasure is about. And we lose so much of that as we adult and life's at us. So yeah, I still love to sing. I do it. I think singing one song is one of the quickest ways that I can reset my nervous system. A lot of breathing, a lot of diaphragmatic engagement, right?
Wow, so it's a great point. You know, okay. Yeah. Well, that's, I think, why we get such joy out of singing in the car or the shower, right? Well, 100%. People like me, because that's the only place that belongs, in the car alone. As much as, you know, I think it would just be extraordinary to be able, you know, and you get to do it once in a while. Like, it's got to be such an amazing gift to be able to do that and do it well. But I'm all for the joy of doing it if no one's listening to, because it serves another purpose for us, right?
Yeah. And you actually hit the nail on the head. It doesn't matter. And I have so much to say about that performance, right? Like, you know, that I could pick apart as a vocalist and all of the things. And the point is not in the outcome. It's in the doing of the thing. It's in the doing the thing that lights you up. Because at the end of the day, if we're going to only allow ourselves to do the things where we think we'll get positive reinforcement from somewhere outside of ourselves, we are setting ourselves up to be really disappointed.
It's an amazing point. I love that. My God. And we're barely getting started, ladies and gentlemen. So this little child in you grew up to start, you know, as we do, we go to school, we follow a certain path that we think is the path, which at the time feels like the right path. Talk a little bit about that journey for you, where you were at, what you wanted to do, what you felt you were leaning into. And, you know, frankly, business that served you beautifully for many, many, many years that you were extraordinary at.
Thank you. I think I really took my parents' word for it when they said, you can't be a singer. That's like a pipe dream. So get a real job. And my interpretation of that was like, get out and get a job, right? So I went to college and completely stepped away from pursuing any like arts degree, no voice and performing arts, nothing of that sort. And I was looking at schools for like business and liberal arts. And I ended up at Ithaca College and had started as a business major, only to decide that microeconomics and macroeconomics was not my jam. And so I found a major called speech communications with a concentration in public speaking. And it was really communications at Ithaca was television and radio production. It was sort of the compilation. It was the production side of things. So speech comm and public speaking was the persuasive side of things, almost like what led into my advertising and marketing career so beautifully. And now, you know, full circle where I'm now doing more public speaking and loving it more than ever.
Amazing. Well, you've got an incredible platform, but this has been a journey for you. And I want to sort of stay in the past for a bit, because the work that you did, the place that the intersection where we met, you were really in that experiential marketing, partnership, events business. Mm-hmm. It's an area that I've been in for many years. There, you know, it's such a fun place to play in. But was there a pivotal moment for you where you said, okay, this has been fun, but what else is out there? Like, what was that moment when you started to shift? You started to, you know, you may not have been aware that it was a reinvention in the works, but it was ultimately.
Yeah.
What was it? Hard? Were you challenged? Were you excited? You know, what was that nexus point to, you know, some of these seminal moments for you?
Okay, that's so, whew. I actually just flashed back to a conversation I had with a coach that I hired because I felt like I was at a crossroads. Yeah. So I loved my marketing business. Actually, that picture of Questlove behind me is from the Wired 25, I think, which was my last big event production. I had done a couple small sort of clienty things after that, but that, and that was, I want to say, in 2019 or 18. And it was a time where I owned a food festival called Harvest on the Harbor, and that's that poster. Yep. It's like my whole professional history is behind me. Yeah. And the partnership was no bueno. And I loved the food business. And my vision for that at the time was I wanted to create the first female-owned, franchisable food festival on harbors across America. And we started in Portland, Maine. That's where Harvest on the Harbor was and still is. If you're a foodie and you're in that area, please support them. It's a great, great event. And so my partner and I weren't really, you know, jiving so much. And so I went to this, I found this life coach like that came across my Facebook, you know, like during, she was doing a live or a promotion, like do this free. I think it was, she called it like Summer of Yes. And I'm like, oh yeah, I need me some of that. And I was really into her approach, like no BS, super fun factor. She's a real glam kind of gal. Like I loved how she always looked so great. And I went to her and was trying to figure out what to do with my life. Do I sell the business? Pardon me, I had like, you know, ideas come to me freely and often. So I had a bunch of other business ideas. And she helped me sort of narrow my focus. So I stepped away from my partnership. I sold my part of the festival. And as I was looking for work and looking for the next gig and having meetings and whatever, it just was not happening. So I got a gig working, doing more strategic branding for an agency and an old colleague friend of mine. And so I just naturally was working on a really long-term project that was helping sort of rebrand this huge privately held mobility company, happened to be in New Jersey, which is my home state. So it was a great opportunity to work with this coach a little bit, figure out what I was going to do next. I had this great project. And then I loved it so much that I was like, I need to be a coach. Like, by the way, everybody else in the world wanted to be a coach.
Right.
And we'll get to that in a minute.
Yes.
Because boy, do I have a lot to say about the coaching business. So that's what happened. It was sort of in that moment. It happened sort of gradually. I started taking coaching certification, which is that certificate behind me where I studied body positivity. I ended up in a woman, Susan Hyatt's book on body positivity called Bear. I'm basically like, you know, in my undies looking like Jesus Christ across a chapter on
yes
pleasure. So come COVID, events are shut down. I had just stopped publishing my food blog because I had just sold the food business. So I was like, okay, I can sort of refocus that energy. And I started doing some coaching online, like just doing some free stuff around body positivity, around, you know, personal strength and stepping away from how we identify our self-worth through the eyes of others.
And this was coming from your own wisdom, your own knowledge, your own experiences, and a sense of, gee, if I've gone through this or been thinking this, other people can connect and relate to this, and I might be able to help somebody. Is that correct?
And before I even thought I could help somebody, I wasn't really even stepping away from my marketing consultancy, or I didn't think I was. And during COVID, everything stopped. I was still working on this project because it could be done virtually. So there were some things that were happening, but definitely not a lot. And so it gave me a lot of time. I was going through a big personal change at the time that no one at the time knew about, but I was going through the end of my marriage at the time. And so I was doing a lot of personal growth and soul searching. And as an eternally curious person who, as I always like to say, likes to dig in the dirt to figure out like what makes this human tick,
right.
It became evident to me that I had both more personal growth to do and I should just keep following my passion. And how could I create some goodness in my life when I'm living within these four walls with someone that I'm working to separate from, our two children who we've now just told that we're going to be separating, and then we end up living together for like two more years, right? So yeah. I think it was in that time where I started doing things online. and people were like really responding. There was some, and it wasn't even, it's taken me a long time to admit this, and because it felt so conceited in a way. And I think this is where the shift happens with our self-worth, is when we can really acknowledge our greatness and really acknowledge the things we're good at, it gives other people permission to do the same. And the thing I discovered I'm really good at is allowing other people to feel more seen and more understood, and that there's something about who I am, the energy that I bring, and how I approach interaction with people that makes people feel safe. They seem to dig my energy. They feel like there's a lot of positivity happening. And so it probably took like 2 or so years of me fooling around with different programs and ideas and really like spending a lot of time ideating, launching something, never really seeing it through, ideating, launching, so, until I finally sort of got my proverbial, you know what, together.
But I love that, because you know what, that there is a reality to that in life, and anything that we do, we come out of the gate with a new idea. We don't necessarily have it fully baked. And the beauty and the permission and the grace that we need to give ourselves to play with it, work through it, learn from the input and the feedback, learn from our own insights, be open. I mean, all of that is part of the process. And when you look at the work that you're doing now, it is a process to get to where we want to be. And that doesn't mean it's the final resting spot. It means it's just part of the journey. Yeah. But we have to learn to give ourselves a little more grace that it's okay. I talk about this in Reinvention all the time. And if you read the book, which is, for those who don't know, the book is called Reinvent Your Life. What are you waiting for?
Read the book.
We have 30 stories in there of people who have had aha moments, whether it came from adversity or opportunity or that twinkle in their eye, and those who sort of went and pursued something they thought they wanted and then were like, and what am I thinking? I don't want to be doing this. And they go kind of U-turn, but they don't land back where they were. They land adjacent or in the vicinity or somewhere else. And that's fabulous, because that's when we learn about ourselves and we learn about, and we try things on. Trying things on is fun. Think about when we were kids and we put on costumes. Gosh, we need more playtime with ourselves.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, two things came to mind when you said that. One thing I say to clients all the time is reserve the right to pivot. Just, you can change your mind without notice and without anybody's approval. And then the second thing I think is that people often say, oh my gosh, you've had so many different kinds of careers and you've made so many sort of successful moves. Like, how'd you do it? And, you know, like as if there was some formula. And my answer is I just keep passion hunting. You know, whether it's singing at open mics, because that's a passion of mine that I want to express and brings me so much joy and presence. You know, or it's something you can turn into a career, which, you know, this pleasure thing seems to be really taking off now. I think it's really important for us to trust ourselves.
Talk to me. I could use an extra dose of that this very moment in my life. Yeah. So let's talk about that, because what does that really mean, and how do people know which voice in your head to trust when there's multiple things at play?
Oh, do we have 6.5 hours? Because this could be like a whole.
Yeah, if we can squeeze that into 12 more minutes, sure, no problem.
We can do a lot of things. That's
okay. We'll do a series. We'll do a series.
Here's what I want to say about that. And this is my point of view, right? Keep what works and ditch the rest. I know for sure that women like us, and I can speak like this because I know Kathy personally, we were required to subscribe to a lot of the systems of oppression that keep the United States of America running the way it does. Patriarchy, capitalism, oppression, right?
Yep.
All inequality in the workplace, all the things. So if we can start to break down, and this is actually the first step in my framework around pleasure, which I'll just reveal to y'all right now, which is the programming. Where did we learn the messages that we believe that affect all of the choices in our life? Is it the system? Is it patriarchy? Is it misogyny? Like, why do I think that when someone emails me, it is required that I immediately stop everything and look at my phone and respond back? Why do we have notifications on for everything? Because it makes Facebook money, Instagram money, more white men money, Elon Musk money. You know, I could go on. And trust me, like, I am guilty as charged with my relationship with Mr. Bezos. So I get it, right?
Yeah.
And it's a work in progress. I do think it's really important for us, if we really want to get serious about our own journey, and like, this is how committed I am to joy and presence, right? What do we have to acknowledge about the way we show up in the world and how that is reflective of the things we say we want for ourselves? And so when we can slow down enough and get quiet enough, which again is really counter entrepreneurship, it's counter business, it's counter culture, you can start to hear what Oprah would call God whispers, what we might call a nudge or an intuitive hit, or, you know, universal messages. I got the full body chills just now. Like, you can pay attention to that because you're present.
So,
and that's the game, right? That's how we get to know ourselves.
How does one get present? I mean, I had this conversation with someone earlier this morning, and you know, we're juggling a lot of inputs and a lot of outputs, and there's the what we think we need to do and what we want to do. You know, we're calibrating all of that.
Yeah.
100%. Where is the intuitive, you know, how do we get still enough?
Yeah.
How do we get still enough for that, that to emerge?
I think it's a really long process and everybody has to be as committed as they want to be to it. So there's two answers really to that question. Like, there are super quick hacks that can get you into your present really easily. We did one of the, you know, before I think we hit record, where we both just took three deep breaths together.
Yeah.
So the whole purpose, I didn't even get into the science geeky part of this, but, you know, part two or whatever, is it's what we're trying to do is, first of all, calm down your nervous system, which is only wired to for fight or flight. So you're only ever, you're having about 90 thoughts a day. Automatically, they're assessing, do I have to run or do I have to fight? Do I have to run? Do I have to fight? Run, fight, run, fight, run, fight, right? When we do breathing, breath work, get on our yoga mat, meditate, laugh, hug someone, pet a furry friend, all of the feel-good hormones like serotonin, oxytocin, endorphins, right, start to release from your body, which shift the neural pathways of our brain in order for our nervous system to calm down. So there's a little bit of a science lesson. Yep. When our nervous system calms down, it's only in that place that we can write, sort of be like, oh, wow, I'm really freaking out right now. What is that? Oh, I'm projecting about this meeting I have in 15 minutes. I didn't even hear what Gabrielle said for the last five, right? Don't we do that all the time?
Yep.
So first it's noticing without judgment. I think that's the first step. Mm-hmm. How do we notice what are the programs? It's a, you know, and it's constant. Like, we're just always going to be in this work because we're always going to be humans with life, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think the first thing is to notice. And I think this, the other thing is to try and practice some really practical hacks to calm your nervous system down, because we're really in a very over traumatized state and we're collectively exhausted and the world is a dumpster fire. And we need to find ways to come back online with ourselves. So I hope that answered that.
It does. I mean, it's just, you know, and I think this is the kind of thing that people will want to play over and over and over again that aren't really practicing it. And I think there's a lot of us who would like to think that we have a sense or an ability to find that peace or to find that stillness. But we go to work at it. It doesn't happen by itself.
And we don't realize how ingrained it is. How many times have you heard phrases like, you know, fake it till you make it, which means like, ignore everything that you know to be true for yourself and pretend it doesn't exist. Well, let's just talk about how long that trauma is going to be stored in our bodies, right? Yeah. And how that affects our health and our sleep. But we're also told to, like, you know, grin and bear it, white knuckle through it, hustle more, right? You can sleep when you're dead. Like, all of these.
Oh, that's my favorite line.
Right.
Exactly. Is there something wrong with that?
No, what? We are in it right again. No judgment. So just noticing the language we use, right? Yeah. I just did a great book club with an author named Michael Lozier, who wrote a book called Law of Attraction.
Yeah.
And he has great hacks about don't, no, and not, and how we can remove those from our vocabulary. So instead of saying like, oh, I really don't want my client to cancel this big job, we might say, I'm really excited that my client is ready to move forward with this proposal and that the deposit's on its way.
Right.
Right. As we're talking to our friends.
Yeah.
Or colleagues.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I love the big toolbox of things.
Well, look, you're doing some incredible work now in the realm of pleasure. And, you know, I've had the lovely benefit of, you know, sitting through an extraordinary session. A pleasure session. I know we did one year, probably a year ago now, when we did one on our virtual chat.
Yep.
But when you talk about the pause for pleasure process, which is really your business now, and I love and I apologize for those who may take offense to this, but I do love, because of the world I come from, when we've kind of operated in a corporate function for many of our business lives, many of our years in our business life, and we have an opportunity to apply the things in life that are going to make us better as humans. Mm-hmm. And I think as we mature, as we get a little bit older, we are seeking those things that are going to bring us that sense of knowing and calm and joy and happiness in our lives. And you have tapped into something, my friend, which I think, you know, when you say the word pleasure, as I know you ask people at the very beginning of your sessions, you're like, well, you know, what do you think this is going to be about? So let's go there for a moment, because I want you to sort of give a bit of a teaser to the audience that is listening, you know, who are going to be sharing this with everybody going, oh my goodness, this is extraordinary. Let's go there.
All right. Let's go there.
But let's talk about that for a few moments. I wish we had a lot more, but let's talk about what this practice and process is really all about for people and why it is so necessary.
Awesome. So in a nutshell, let's go there, right? I say pleasure and people either think or feel some sort of way in their body and some sort of visions in their head. Usually has to do with sex, let's all be adult about it, and or a lot of people envision some sort of decadent food or drink experience. Mm-hmm. Or the alternate state any of us may experience, whether you indulge in, you know, California sobriety, you enjoy a cocktail now and again, right? Like plant-based medicine is your jam. Whatever it is, people think of those things as pleasure. First of all of those things, by the way, fall into one of 15 pleasure practices that I talk about within this process. Which is sensuality. The big reveal is, right? What's that pleasure? It's called sensuality. So yeah, sex is within sensuality, but sensuality, not but, and also, I like to use and also to replace the word but. Mm-hmm. It represents our senses and how often or how infrequently are we really attending to all five senses in any particular moment. So when we dig into the practice of sensuality, right, we have conversations about sex and our programming behind that and our relationships and how we show up in intimacy and, you know, being a stand for what we know about our bodies and about our own pleasure centers and the vulnerability involved in being able to have those conversations with our partners and to understand them for ourselves. Right. I mean, that could be, you know, 10 years in the works, right, for some people. You know, sensuality is also about being super present when you cross into all of the other 14 pleasures. So, you know, I don't know, let's pick one out of the hat. Nature.
Beautiful.
Right? When we're in nature, how often are we listening to something on our AirPods? Or are we on a conversation? My thing now is I will bring my phone, put it on Do Not Disturb, only for emergencies because I go to the woods and I'm by myself. Right. But I literally, I've stopped bringing my earphones. I don't schedule phone calls. If I have to, I do, but really rarely because I want to know what is it that I'm seeing. I mean, when I tell you I live in New Jersey and I have experienced the changes in the seasons like I have never before this year. And I think it's because I can be so present in it.
Yeah, that's huge. It's huge. Yeah. And it's the difference. I mean, the experience, the physical experience of going out and taking that walk is the same. It's the same amount of time, but it is a conscious decision to choose to not listen to that fabulous rock and roll music or your favorite soundtrack, which you think is like, wow, what a wonderful thing. I'm going to take that walk, or I'm going to go call my best friend because I never have time and this is the perfect time to do it. But it should be an also. You should have a time when you take that walk or enjoy that outdoors and that nature without all that. I'm so cognizant of that because I've started doing it. I go to take the dog for a walk and I'm like, okay, what podcast can I listen to? I've got a 38 podcasts that I've been tagging and noting and I never have time and I drive 3.5 minutes to the office. So I have no commuter time. So taking a walk with a dog is a great time, but no, I want to call my best friend or I want to call somebody back that I'd said I'd call for 3 days. I mean, you go through all of that and we're trying to play catch up.
Yeah.
And we're not giving ourselves that time. And yet when you do, it's huge, huge.
Right. And the difference is, and you can do all of it. And again, no judgment zone, friends. Like this is all, you know, I call my 15 practices practice. Because it is required for us to take that approach with things. Because when we're practicing, there you can't really mess it up, right?
It's
just we're practicing. And I want this to be something, you know, personal development and self-development and growth can be really challenging and very confrontational. And as someone who's been dedicated for this for a long time and have done immersive therapy, trauma healing education, yoga nidra training, like, you know, have been in group therapy, weekend retreats that are like intensive therapy where people are rebirthing themselves and people are scream therapy. Like I have probably done most or all of the things. What I can say is that I want to make it easy and accessible. People are having a hard enough time. So knowing that pleasure is one of the quickest ways to hack our neural pathways and create some calm in the world. It's like nobody's laying on their deathbed and saying, like, I wish I worked another hour. They're like, God, I wish I had enjoyed myself a little more, right?
Beautiful.
So yes. That's like sort of what I'm hoping to
bring.
Well,
as I say with my book, what are you waiting for, right? Exactly. What are we waiting for? Like making decisions that are going to serve us and all of those around us is paramount. It's paramount every day. It's paramount every moment. You have a practice, both individual, you do incredible events, you're tapping into the corporate community, helping corporate America understand how to bring these conversations to the workplace, creating a better, more thriving workforce within their companies. Where and how do people get a bit of Gabrielle? How do people get, they're going to hear this and they go, okay, yes, please. What do, yes, please. What do I do? How do I get me some of that? Where do I hear, listen, read, see, engage, have a bit of that, a bit of you? Talk a little bit about your actual business practice and the models in which people can engage with you.
Yes. Thank you for asking. Depending on when this airs, I am doing for the rest of 2023, Tuesdays, I'm doing lunch and learns on LinkedIn. Free half hours, 12 noon Eastern time, I'm going to be live on LinkedIn doing chats, just sort of like this, right? Like letting people ask questions, helping people understand the work, the little bit more of the science behind it. And I'll do those every Tuesday between now and the end of the year. I literally, right before we got on, I created the landing page. So I just posted it to Facebook on my Instagram stories, and I will be sending out an email. People can go visit, and I will also figure out how to get this like to pop up when people go to my website. So give me like a day to sort that out, but you can also go to my website, GabrielleGarofalo.com.
And we'll put that in the show notes, of course.
I will also, for your listeners and your listeners only, if you sign up for my emails, great. You'll get this automatically. If you sign up to join me on the LinkedIn, series, you can also sign up to work with me one-on-one on my website. I am launching a 90-minute more immersive workshop in January. That will be, I think I just put it in the calendar, like the last Thursday of the month, I think it will be. I can't remember the date off the top of my head.
Okay.
So LinkedIn is free. Working with me one-on-one, obviously paid. The workshop will be paid. I'll continue to do free stuff always just because I think it's important to serve people. The other thing I'm doing more of is public speaking at corporations,
yep.
Lunch and learns, immersive workshops. I also can be hired to create girls' weekends, retreat weekends where, you know, there's immersive experiences around all 15 areas of pleasure or five, you know, depending on how long we have, right?
What about men? What about men's weekends?
Yeah,
not that they're doing it the way we are, because, you know, I think it's a different vibe, let's talk about
dare
men for
I
a
put
second.
It in the world? Well, this is something I want to create, so I might as well just say it.
Put it out.
And you guys are all going to be like, oh, what? So I'm sure you've all heard of something called OnlyFans. And OnlyFans, while it's now y'all are thinking about sex, right? While there is also that on OnlyFans, there is also content that has nothing to do with anything, you know, particularly sexual. I think I want to do a men only chat, you know, OnlyFans sort of space,
yep,
where men can curate questions. They can go anywhere and I will bring them the truth from a female point of view, pleasure centered, so that we can break down a lot of what men go through, which is really challenges around vulnerability. And I feel like OnlyFans is the right place to find these guys.
That's interesting. I love that. You know, there's a chapter in my book called Men Don't Ask for Directions, and it is dedicated to all the men out there. We have interviews
chapter.
For men and women. It's a very co-ed book.
Yeah.
But the notion of, you know, we gals, we're really good at this. We have these conversations. We go there. We're emotional. We're raw. We're open. We're vulnerable. We have no problem. That's who we are as females. Men, not so much. They hang out. They spend time together. Somebody just recently sent me a really great thing, a joke on social media about, you know, guys on the golf course, they spend an entire day together and it's like, well, you know, how's your girlfriend? You know, like they just, there's the conversations just don't happen and
exactly.
They don't happen naturally. So creating environments and space for that's enabling that, I think is a very special gift and wonderful for everybody involved. So,
and I'm also hoping to do strategic collaborations with places like the Gentleman's Factory. I just met the founder, a gentleman named Jeff Lindor, really cool guy, who, you know, has a captive audience of men. There's also an old friend of mine who used to have a men's only club called, you know, Carbon in New York City. He's got a bunch of affiliations. I think it would be really good to sort of do a men's tour in 2024 and create the opportunity, right, to have these conversations, not just exclusively with women, exclusively with men, to start to open up the comfort zone of having these conversations in companies, which, you know, I was just asked to do a proposal for a very, very, very large tech company.
Nice.
So I am super excited because I think it's time that we, you know, cross-pollinate this conversation.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a way to couch it in a language that is understood. That's so important. And I think, look, we're living in a world today where people are a lot more open to being vulnerable and having conversations that, you know, peel back the onion a little, very important, really super critical. And again, I kind of go back to your past and your history and your dynamic coming out of the corporate world gives you a certain set of tools and experiences to understand how to massage the situations and the dynamics and the personalities and understand where people are coming from, which is really important in the desire to shift.
Yeah. And I just want to touch on two quick things. I'm sure we're like over time, which are, you know, companies are starting to prioritize what they're calling wellness. And according to the National Institute of Health, there are 8 different areas of wellness. Pleasure touches all of them. The other thing pleasure does that I think I have had a hard time identifying another sort of area like that, that transcends gender. You can be complete, you can affiliate as a woman, a man, non-binary, both. These transcend that. Race, geography, financial well-being or otherwise, you know, whether you're in, you know, decide that you want to be in a home or homeless. It transcends roles in companies. It transcends political affiliation. So, you know, I feel like pleasure is this universal language that everybody wants to speak and does not know how to get there.
Yeah.
We always talk about like, oh, you know, I'm hearing all this stuff of like, you know, let's do a joy workshop. And we just spent a weekend, right? A retreat centered on joy. And the whole point, I think every person, including you that spoke about it, it's like, how do we get there?
Yeah.
We get there by honoring our reinventions. We get there by honoring, right, by honoring our traumas and our healing journey. We get there by indulging in JOMO, not FOMO. Shout out to our girls, right? So I think that there, you know, it's about discovering your own toolbox and filling it with all of the things that you know, calm your nervous system down so you can be more present and enjoy this one precious life.
Amazing. What a beautiful, beautiful note to I don't want to say end this conversation because I know between us, it will never end. Exactly. To end this episode of this podcast, shall I say, such an important statement you just made. And thank you for that. I have a million and one other questions, but unfortunately we are out of time and there will be more. There has to be more. There's so much more ground for us to cover together. And I love that we get to do this, and I think we're concocting something else together that's going to just give people more of this to play with. And we welcome the input, we welcome the feedback. You know, reach out to Gabrielle and myself, share with us your thoughts and things that you're doing. All of the information on contacting Gabrielle will be in the show notes, which you have in your hands, hopefully, if you're listening to this. So I want to thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much
more for us to collaborate on and share and build on and inspire others with and hopefully affect as we're going into the new year, the time when so many are reflecting on what they're up to and where they want to be and what that potential reinvention in their lives could be and how to sort of step into it. What that reinvention roadmap might look like. So tune in to everything, of course, on the Reinvention Exchange, blogs, podcasts, stories, interviews. It's all there. And please, please reach out to Gabrielle and follow all the incredible things that she is doing. And I thank you, my friend, for being a part of this conversation.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And the last thought I will leave your folks with is that I do offer free chats. So you can book a call with me, a discovery call. We can chat. And frankly, if I'm not the right fit for you, I will do my best to find someone who is, because I don't care how people fill their toolbox. I just want them to fill it.
Love that. I love that. As a matter of fact, Gabrielle, remind me, and you're hearing it, and everybody will be a testament to this now. So I have witnesses. I want to add the link to what you're doing to the website at thereinventionexchange.com because I do have a list of all these wonderful resources for people to go to implement whatever it is in their life that they're trying to do. And for everybody, it is something different. So yeah. Let's go ahead and include you in there as well.
Thank you, my friend.
So I love you.
I love you.
Happy reinventing to you in your every step of this journey, and to everybody out there, just take a deep breath. Take that breath and, give thought to what you could do to make this one beautiful life as fabulous as it could be. Okay.
Amen. Yeah.
Have a great day, everybody.
Bye, y'all. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to The Power of Reinvention. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Wouldn't mind a 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. Also, be sure to visit thereinventionexchange.com to share your reinvention stories, suggest a guest, join the newsletter mailing list, get access to my book, which is called Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For?, and discover fantastic bonus content with my blogs, and listen in to the Reinvention Virtual Chat series. Don't forget to join me next week for another episode. Please share with a friend, and thank you for listening. Happy reinventing.